rise up from the embers. Rivers of tears flow from good times remembered. Families are singing and dancing and laughing. The Father is welcoming. This is our homecoming. Heaven joins in with the glorious sound. In the great cloud of witnesses, oh, gather round. 'Cause the ones that were lost are finally found. The Father is welcoming. This is our homecoming. Scarlet Saints had a crimson cross. You nailed my debt to that old rugged cross. An empty slate at the empty grave.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it is written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
So, honey, come up here. Tell us what the doctor said about my condition. What I know is I do not have a stent this morning. And as far as I can tell, I'm still alive. And I do not feel any weaker. We're going to give the Lord praise.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Well, let me start back. He's trying to prep me that he's got heart problems, right? So this is what he says. Now, I don't want you to be concerned. Well, first off,
weeks ago,
I don't want you to be concerned. I'm like, okay, I already feel concerned just by you saying that. You know, if we didn't know God was in charge, we would just like fall apart, wouldn't we? But anyway, God's in charge. So he says, I think I'm going to have a heart cath. And maybe open heart surgery. And I'm like, no. And so, and do you ever just tell the Lord what you can't do? That's me. Okay, Lord, I can't do that. Okay, I can't do that. No. I can't do that. So anyway, so he the day comes on Monday. He goes. I drop him off, and. I didn't know it, but he signed me up to get alerts. So my phone keeps binging, and I'm like, what is my phone doing? So it says, you've signed up to get alerts to let you know how the patient's doing. So, okay, the patient's being prepped. Okay, good. Bing. The patient's ready to go. Okay, good. Bing. The patient's going in now to have the thing going. I'm like, okay, good. Bing, the patient's having the procedure now. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I come against this and I come against that and no open heart surgeries. I can't do that, Lord. are you hearing me, Lord? I can't do. So anyway, praise God.
You didn't tell me that part.
No, I didn't tell you that part. So I was praying against all that. I'm just like, we don't need any open heart surgery. I saw what people go through with open heart surgery. Have you seen people that had open heart surgery? It's not a pretty scene, okay? So anyway, so then my phone rings. I'm like, well, that's strange. That didn't last long, you know? And it's the doctor. And he's wanting to explain to me what all he did. Well, hello. I'm not a doctor. So anyway, he's saying, you know, we went in and we're looking and, you know, the blockage, it's 90-something percent blockage. And I said, okay. And but he said there's these, and I thought of the name of it just a while ago. But anyway, these little vessels grew past it. No, it's not capillaries. It grew past it. He called them some kind of
collateral.
Collateral vessels, maybe, arteries, whatever. Anyway, they grew around the blockage. And they made their own little path. And he says when he was having all that pressure in his chest, he said these things were growing. He says, and he says there's no stents and no open heart surgery. Woohoo! And I was like, thank you, Lord. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, God is good, isn't he?
Amen. Well, praise God. And so that's our story, and we're sticking to it. And hallelujah. That's a good thing. Good thing. Thank you for your prayers. Well, we're going to be going this morning to Habakkuk. Habakkuk. And we're going to be talking about the righteous. And it's in chapter 2, verse 4, where we find the text scripture this morning. The righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. Now, we know that is a teaching that is very clear in the Old Testament, but we also know, which I hate to call it old, it's not really old, but it's the first covenant. But we also know that the New Testament, New Covenant, Old Covenant, New Covenant, both carry this idea and this truth of how the righteous live. We live by faith. And anytime, even any of us in this room, anytime we try to figure it all out, we can get distracted and confused, because our walk with God is truly a faith walk. So we're going to be looking at chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Habakkuk this morning. And some will not like the message. Some are not going to like the message. That means some may not like the messenger. That's okay. That's okay. But I would ask that you search the scriptures and you seek the heart of the Father to judge what I'm going to share with you this morning. I want to just ask you three questions, maybe four. Has God decreed COVID due to the cry of innocent blood crying out from the ground? I want you, don't answer. Is it possible that God has said, I love the church too much? See, I had Sue Chess in the studio some time back. I said, Sue, what are the statistics now about abortion in the church versus the world? She said, about the same, sometimes a little higher. And let me say this about that. I do not believe the greatest level of responsibility is on the people. I believe the greatest level of accountability, and I changed words there on purpose, is with the pastoral leadership, hard to spit it out, but I will, the pastoral leadership that have failed to lead people to God. Okay, question. The next is it possible that due to complacency, compromise, and the deep slumbering sleep of the church virgins, that God may have allowed COVID to awaken us? Number three, is it possible that due to God's deep and unfailing love and mercy, He loves too much to let us drop into hell without a mercy call to the reality of life and death? Is it possible that due to the shortness of time, due to the prophetic end time, is it possible that in answer to the prayers of the saints, that God is endeavoring to actually awaken the saints and to reach our family members and those in our community that can be reached? These are tough questions. I will assure you that it is not popular to address. I jotted this down because I see this, I hear this, I deal with this. It is not popular to address or acknowledge that sin has consequences. And that all rebellion against God also has consequences. And that disobedience is rebellion against God. And that it is the mercy of God that compels righteousness and calls us to correction. I'd read that passage, Matthew 25:5, many times, but for some reason, Harriet, when you read it to me one day, or you spoke those words to me, that all of the virgins were sleeping, there was a day that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I realized that those who consider themselves the church are in great danger of being asleep and without oil or life, the Holy Spirit life, salvation life. People have different opinions on what all that means. But what I know is that they did not have time. The shortness of time should compel every prophetic voice and every voice of those gifted by God. It should compel us to speak the truth and leave the sugar coating outside the door. Because there is not adequate time to suck on the sucker all day. Many people are coming in contact with death and within days are gone. And it's global. I know someone's going to say, Jonathan, I think I'm in the wrong place this morning. Well, I would like you to join me in Amos. Many years ago, I was reading through this passage, and we had a string of hurricanes coming. And I remember the mocking that took place over some voices that said, God's trying to awaken us. In every disaster, God is trying to awaken us. And I'm reading in Amos, and you see, God is the same wind. Yesterday, now you know how to finish this. It's not a trick question. God is the same when? Yesterday, today, and when? Forever. And this is why we need to read the first covenant as well as the second covenant, because the first covenant lays down the foundation that everything else will move on. And so I was reading in Amos, and I was in chapter 3, and I read these words. Now I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Yours may say it's slightly different, but it's going to say the same message. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. When the war trumpet blares, shouldn't the people be alarmed? Oh, you can read the earlier verses there, and it's setting up this stage as an attorney would set up a case. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Verse 3. Does a lion ever roar in a thicket without first finding a victim? Does a young lion growl in its den without first catching its prey? Does a bird ever get caught in a trap that has no bait? Does a trap ever spring shut when there's nothing there to catch? And verse 6, when the war trumpet blares, shouldn't the people be alarmed? When disaster comes to a city, isn't it because the Lord planned it? Now there's a lot of happy clappy people that will say, I don't serve a God like that. Then let me challenge your ignorance. Because if God is not sovereign, then God is not who He says He is. And if God is not sovereign in who He says He is, then there is no salvation for those of us that so desperately need it. God's sovereignty alone guarantees that in His character, He knows and understands everything, and I would dare not give the devil authority to take charge of anything God has created. Oh, the enemy may be prince and power of the air, but he is not sovereign and he is not in charge. If he is in charge, think about this for a moment. If Satan is in charge, then what hope have we? Let me ask you another question. If whatever will be, which many unbelievers believe that, but I'm not primarily talking to them, I'm talking to the church. Now I'm going to ask you a question, church. Do you believe that whatever will be? Do you believe, like a Thomas Jefferson, that God created things, wound up the clock, threw it out into space, took His hands off of it, and said, now whatever will be? Do you believe that when you get in your car, that you may be safe to make it to a restaurant? Or maybe you won't be, that Satan has nothing to do with attacks against you, and that God has no ability to protect you? Do you believe that? I don't. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. The enemy, read the book of Job. The enemy cannot move against any of God's children unless he's given squeak space. The enemy had no authority under the first covenant upon the righteous. Do you believe he has more authority in the second covenant than he had in the first covenant? Do you believe that a God who watched over Job and protected what? His life, his health, his wealth, his wife, his family. Do you believe for a moment that the God who did that under the first covenant would neglect you and me in this day, today? I don't. And the Word of God does not sustain that. When disaster comes to a city, isn't it because the Lord planned it? Question. But look at verse 7. But always, say always. First, say first, of all, I warn you through my servant the prophets. Warning. Today's message is a warning to those who are asleep. Today's message is a warning to those who do not know Jesus Christ, who have not opened their heart, who are not born again. Today is a warning to them. But to the righteous who are awakened, today's message is going to be a message of faith and hope. God always takes care of His own. It's His promise. You say, well, I know of a case. I know of a situation. I went through a time. Could I remind you of something? In Noah's day, there was a way to get out of the flood. Right? Do I have to read it to remind you of the story? Do you know the story? In Noah's day, there was a way out of the flood if you so chose to believe the word of God. I'm going to suggest something to you. Many believers are sitting around waiting on God to do something, when I believe God is saying, when are you actually going to believe that what I said is true and you're going to begin to act on it with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? I'll never forget that day coming back from the hospital when they told me, there's nothing we can do for you. 3 hours in emergency. Thank God they sent me out of there. I believe they would have done everything they could to kill me. Nothing we can do for you. Go home and take Tylenol. And when we got to the house, once they pulled the oxygen off of me, see, they checked my oxygen while I was on oxygen. I didn't catch on to that till later, but I'm not all that bright, but I'm bright enough to see something in that story. They said my oxygen levels were too high, but I was on oxygen at that time. They put me on it as soon as I came in the hospital. But by the time we got back to our place, to our home, at that point, I knew I needed to put a call out and get a hold of my doctor friend. And my question was, is there anything that we can do? Listen, church, my wife and I are getting messages from people that are dying, friends of ours, teachers from the college and campus that I grew up on. We're getting messages every day from Christian people that are dying right now, when God has provided an ark of protection. And I don't know why we as Christians could not do some research and discern the truth from a lie and find out where we could get help from somebody that knows how to minister help during these days. It's heartbreaking. My wife was just reading to me a couple more names. Husband and wife just died, leaving, I don't know, three, four children. One of the teachers that my wife and I knew well, that was over us when we were in college, just died. What we missed, there was an SOS that was sent out in the last hours of his life. We didn't get it in time. It wasn't directly sent to us. It was just, finally, there was this message that was thrown out. If anybody knows of anything that I can do to stay alive, please contact me. Unfortunately, we got the message after he was dead. I'm not here to speak to pastors. I am one. We have enough issues of our own. But I must say this. If you're in a fellowship where the pastoral leadership will not address the demons in the darkness in this day, then you need to get into a fellowship where someone's going to tell you the truth, even if it's not popular, even if people are going to mock them and laugh at them. And let me say this, The happy clappy message is great when you go to a wedding. It doesn't work so well when you bury your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, and your neighbors. And it certainly doesn't work when it's done out of ignorance and it's done out of selling your soul to the company store. Well, this is what the government says. This is what this one says. This is what that one says. Church, it's time for us to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and have spiritual wisdom to discern the truth from the lies. Because right now we have lying prophets that are in the government, lying prophets that are in the medical profession, and we have lying prophets in the pulpit. And unless we know the difference, the enemy would love to deceive us. I told you this would be hard to swallow. Now, Amos doesn't, stop there. By the time we get into chapter 4, we see this warning. By the time we get into chapter 4, in verse 4, go ahead and offer your sacrifices to the idols. Keep on disobeying. Offer your sacrifices each morning and bring your tithes in every 3 days. Present your bread with yeast. Give extra voluntary offering so you can brag about it. This is the kind of thing you Israelites love to do. This is the kind of thing that religion loves to do. Not righteousness. Religion will give you a set of guidelines that if you line up, you're one of us. And you're one of the good old boys. God does not lower His standards for any generation. But look at verse 6. This is mercy. I stood in front of a bunch of prisoners out at the work camp. And that afternoon, I believe it was that afternoon, I'd been in prayer saying, God, how am I supposed to talk to these prisoners? What do you want me to say to them? And the Father said, talk to them just like you're talking to the church. Just like you talk to anybody else. So what do you want me to talk about? Talk to them about mercy. Mercy. Well, Father, what do you want me to say to them about mercy? He said, when you get before the prisoners, ask them, that the fact that they were caught, was that an act of judgment or mercy? Because most of them said, Bill, they didn't belong there. This is a mistake. I'm falsely accused. I don't deserve this. Now, I'm sure there's some situation that get through the crack, but they're not all angels. I mean, let's face it. And do you know that there were many that believed that the fact they were caught, that was judgment? And in a sense, it is. I mean, the law is put in place to maintain order. And so there was a sense of righteous, we pray righteous, judicial management of crime so that there was a judicial outcome where they are restrained or corrected. But I challenge them, if you can only hear the voice of God and be changed on the inside by the Spirit of God, then you will not come back to this place. Then does this become a place of judgment or mercy? They all thought it was judgment.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. and fill me with your wonderful